Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it is just an audio presentation, to be honest. I probably should incorporate some sort of video of relevance in these videos. I guess I was so used to just making response videos that I never thought about actually what I was doing in terms of just making noises. But anyway, I like just videos, frankly. But yeah, I know it's not a big seller for the average human, I suppose. They need to see some kind of car crash or something happening. Some kind of, yeah, nonsense. Anyway, so just raw philosophy is, yeah. I was thinking in the context of kind of a little bit like sport, okay? So, because I watched a little bit of golf, you know, Masters, blah, blah, blah. And all of this tension and, you know, competition and the agony of defeat. And thinking about how, you know, their project has to happen in this one day, this 1 hour, this 1 minute, you know, the whole thing, you know, their whole life story, so to speak, or the story of their life's work is dependent on them showing up at this big event and being on and winning and blah, blah, blah. And you can't make 1 foot of mistake. You know, 1 foot will decide who wins is and who loses is. And it's just so, in some sense, it's so cruel. You know, someone like, why would people want to watch this? You know, because it's not really fair, quote unquote. To some extent, you'll definitely be able to separate people that have a durable capacity to, you know, play the game, because they can show up year after year and, you know, get their share eventually, law of averages, whatever. Yeah, exactly who any one time, you know, is going to be the winner or loser is decided by, you know, kind of the flukes of good fortune and whatnot. I was thinking about my own little projects here. And the good news is, I mean, the bright side for me, in terms of, let's say, a level of stress, is I don't have to win today. So, you know, this event of making a video or making an argument or talking some psychological bullshit or philosophical crapola isn't dependent on it working today. I don't have to make it, doesn't have to ring, you know, for people today. It can ring 10 years from now, 100 years from now. So there's a certain power to trying to win those kinds of contests, that where it's really about what's, it's you know, it's just, you know, you have the advantage that all you have to do is do it right, righter than anyone else did it. Okay, that kind of thing. Overall, and then over time, the lighter boat floats to the surface kind of thing or whatever, you know, you'll be able to acquire your victory, you know. And it's not just about this day or any of that crap. Well, anyway, if you understood this argument, I don't know, yeah, it's not of much value. Just thinking about it in terms of, you know, it is a different kind of contest that requires a different kind of precision, and you know, so what all that equals is I'm not too sure. But anyway, so getting to the subject that I planned, but it's not fully cooked. So we're just going to start with this idea of, you know, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, you talk about some sort of first principles, some sort of basic diagram, and say, well, can we agree on the shape of the maze? Maybe we can agree with that, all these lines inside, but can we agree on kind of structure? It has walls, it's got hallways, it's got doorways, it's something we can agree on. And so, you know, I would argue that that's kind of indisputable, in the sense that I'm, you know, I can't see how the future won't get to a point where it really realizes that gods are fables. I mean, it's just a ridiculous theory of reality, you know, and that there is exactly zero credible evidence. I mean, there's just nothing to indicate any good reason for a brain, a thinking machine, to come to any confident conclusion that gremlins exist or hoobies or any of the crap silly people have made up as some framework to silver line the turd that is existence. So anyway, so then, you know, that one, you know, once you get that out of the way, then the rest of the conversation is just a conversation about, well, how do computers work? You know, and, well, since we made computers, we know how they work kind of completely. And we didn't make us, but obviously we've dissected humans all over the damn place. You know, we can know a lot about, you know, how it works, or what it's like to be the thinking, feeling thing, you know, in the universe. And the key ingredient is the feeling part. So, as I was thinking about the statements now, you know, when I think it was Descartes said, I think, therefore I am, that caught on somehow. So, you know, I don't know what number of people, what percentage, 20%, 30% of people maybe have heard that. I don't know. You know, that's another, you have to go test it and see. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting statement about reality, and it really doesn't matter whether it's a simulation or it's this or it's that, because we have this functionality and it's happening. You know, whether it's inside of a, doesn't matter what the container is, the event of being is being experienced now. So that's what I would say, is that there's a more important word than thinking, therefore I am. So first you have to start with, I feel, therefore there's value. So now there's got to be a better way to say that, because the value isn't personal. So so that's where that need, that statement, although I think it's the really important statement, I feel, therefore there's value. The fact that everything, you know, all the feeling things feel, is the important part. That's the value in the universe, is that there's a bunch of things having these feelings, feeling experiences, and it would be best if everything gets to have good feeling experiences, and we reduce the number of horrible feeling experiences. You know, that's the sort of the direction automatically decided by the existence of the feeling, because the feeling has the component of good and bad. And I would say that the components are kind of obvious. So again, there doesn't need to be much, I don't have much doubt that the future will be able to figure out that the existence of good and bad, okay, exists because it happens to brains. The only real good and the only real bad that can possibly happen in the universe has to start, have its origin in a brain. Now, obviously, the fact that the organism is going to have a predestiny decided by a bunch of other non-feeling events doesn't change the fact that once the thing feels, that's when you press the go button or the start button or the, that's when you click the clicker on the stopwatch. That's the time that matters, okay? That's when you're generating the good or the bad. And so to me, that's a philosophically deep cornerstone, lighthouse iconish, gigantic, noticeable feature of any description of reality, is understanding that concept that nothing else in the universe makes much difference. And probably the wrong way to say it, because it all makes a difference because it affects the things that feel. See, so the second statement would be something like, I think, therefore I am relevant, because thinking affects how things feel. because thinking can be applied as a strategy to maximize the amount of good and minimize the amount of bad feelings that take place. So that's the core philosophical construction, is understanding that feelings are the only, the existence of feeling organisms is when value starts. There isn't any until something that feels is in the game. So without that thing, it's a car with no engine. Okay, it's, you know, it's got lots of irrelevant features, but none of them can do any of their thing they're supposed to be doing, right? Even the airbags can't do anything. Nothing can do anything because the core thing is missing. And so the universe can't in any way be relevant until there's feeling stuff to be affected by the universe. And so now everything becomes relevant. And like I said, thinking especially deserves the term, in the sense that it can be so directly applied to the simple problem of saying you have two choices, create a bad feeling or create a good feeling, cause through your effect of action. There really shouldn't be any confusion that the simple truth is that you want to have a net profit. That is, you always want to have satisfied the value equation of profiting from the exchange, profiting from the action in terms of improving the amount of red versus black numbers. Profit. You know, you have to maximize or minimize the losses. You're either minimizing losses or maximizing profits, but you have to be doing something, you know, again, in that box. All right, so that's a starting point. Satisfactory, I'd say. And I'd be back. All right, continuing. Ultimately, I'm going to say something like, you know, everything is already determined. Like a million years ago, you could have sampled the universe in some careful way and it would have been calculatable. That I would say the word calculatable, and that my hand would do that, and then I would do it again to show that, look, it's determined. Yeah, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. So this is like one of those minimum statements, like you have to have this to be able to win. Okay, if you're going to be a philosopher, all right, you can't win. You're not going to win in the future. You're not going to still be on the list of relevant talkers about reality if you don't have this one right, because it's just a key ingredient to understanding the huge limitations that exist. In understanding that the universe is a mechanical system, it doesn't have any real random or any real spontaneous. Those two words are not real words. They don't have any real relevance to anything that happens in the universe. Everything in the universe is cause and effect. There always has to be a previous cause. There can't be an effect without the cause. Nothing poofs. All right, so, once you understand, once you make that statement, I'm just saying it's a decisive statement. I'm saying I'm confident the future, okay, because I'm confident it's the truth. But you can't be a meaningful philosopher if you don't really understand that's the limitation of the context of a conversation about what anything means or what anything somebody can say can be relevant and important. So the reason why I'm saying it's important is that the key part of what's happening, because we have brains and we can think, is that we can actually, as I've sort of said, we can read ahead on the script. So we're reading a script, a program script. And the fact is we can read ahead and see if it's garbage. You know, there's garbage going to happen tomorrow. We can see it. We can see the future with our brain, and see if it's a stupid future, we can pretend to rewrite the script, but the fact is it's in the script that we rewrite the script. So I thought of that, and I said, my brain, you know, because it does this proper event of putting things together and associating things, thought of Monty Python again. They're always a good reference, because in their skits, they used to, once in a while, the guy would just show up, you know, John Cleese in a police uniform and say, too silly, too, you know, this whole sketch is too silly, too stupid, fuck it, let's move on. And they would, you know, they would just end the sketch, okay, because they didn't have an ending. And they would use this device to just say, you know, it was a good joke. And that's essentially what we have the capacity to do. We can see the future and we can say, too silly, okay, what we're doing, we're driving into a brick wall or something stupid, and we can see that it's too silly, let's not do that, and we can scheme and create and think and strategize a solution, okay, that keeps us from being too silly, but it's all going to be part of the determined outcome that we read ahead on the script, because we had the capacity to do the computer thing. We computed that tomorrow wasn't going to turn out the way it should and we should fix it. And so that's part of the determinism, is that thinking machines will behave in something more organized in terms of its behavior. Now, most of the thinking things on Earth, the brain-enabled organisms, are just thinking, okay, in the narrow confines of kind of rigid programming, instinct, you know, and conditioning through their short but real maturation in learning how to be a dog or learning how to be a cat or learning how to be a squirrel or a skunk. And so their behaviors will be rather samey, okay, and they're not going to be able to do this future calculating stuff and figure out that the script sucks and they need to modify and change something. Their calculator is doing a much narrow calculation of just keeping them alive, surviving, and doing it through these kind of programmed rituals, these conditioned or instinctive habits. And so that's another advantage we have, in the sense that we can break that conditioning. We can, you know, learn. We can figure out that we were conditioned badly, and then we can try to rehabitualize ourselves to some new habits, better habits. But we're still a creature of habits, so this is part of just being a stuck in a biological framework, is the fact that we are controlled by a bunch of agenda that doesn't have anything to do with just abstract thought, you know, just thinking about something and how it works and what it is. We are triggered in ways that don't have anything to do with what we understand. It's what we've been, you know, the knee jerks are built in based on what happened to us, and those are a little harder to break. So it's not a completely relevant subject, but I almost wanted to throw it in just because, just out of, you know, some commenter, you know, made some, you know, almost, you'd almost call it a spam comment, you know, endorsing the carnivore diet, as they call it, you know, and it's just such a pile of right-wing propaganda kind of crap. You know, it's just so Trumpy. But anyway, you know, it's really not, it doesn't have anything to do with eating, okay, meat. It just has to do with eating protein and fat and how they biologically are fundamentally different than eating carbohydrates or the things that are easier to turn into fuel. And the simple truth is that, yes, a protein is a big complex molecule, has a whole bunch of little hunks of fuel in it, but you have to do a lot of work to break it apart, and your body doesn't want to do the work. And that's the simple truth. So people think you get fat from, like, a Big Mac because it's got 1,700 calories. but that's not the part that made you fat. It's the bread. Okay, it's not the meat. It's not the other stuff in it. It's not the sauce. It's not any of that crap. It's actually the bread that makes you fat, because your body doesn't need any time at all to grab the power, the batteries out of carbohydrates, and it needs a lot of time to beat the fuck out of the bound proteins. And fat is just another one of, it's just kind of difficult for your body to do anything useful with it, so it kind of just wants to get rid of it. So I call it the craps-a-lot diet, because you're just crapping most of your calories. And so, yes, you'll lose weight, all right, but is it really the sensible way to lose weight, is to eat more calories and just poop them? Or does it make more sense to just say, well, maybe I'll just find some way, right? Because this isn't that complicated. You know, I mean, being overweight isn't complicated, right? You know, it just has to do with how many calories you ingest and how many of your body uses. And so all you can do is you either change how much you eat or you change how much your body takes out of it. And you can do that without eating, certainly without pretending you're handy capable now and can be an animal abuser, because you have a disability and you have to save your life. I mean, it's just such a pile of crap, making gross excuses. I mean, there's a ton of non-animal protein, okay, that is available, and fat. So it's just a lie to say you have to go resort to, chowing down on concentration camp victims. But anyway, it's just clearly there, people are just trying to argue for excuses for their gluttony, and it's just so gross, in my opinion. Gross. It's grossly disgusting behavior. And that they would do it on my channel is just even more. Yeah. You know, fuck you. Anyway, so I just, so there's what you get for attempting your propaganda on my channel is now I've shown your true colors, so to speak, what you're really about, and you're just a petty abuser. So I have empathy. I could make arguments about diets and all that stuff, but it gets into this gray area whether you're going to do somebody any good or somebody harm. And, the science does have a whole bunch of, antioxidants versus this versus that. What causes cancer? What doesn't? Blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. So it's almost a field where you just don't want to mess with. But I just say, look, all this crap about diet, it's not that complicated. there's an in-hole and an out-hole, and the thing in between, absorbs the stuff, and you just have to either control, if you can't, if your habits are bad, and you can't get past those habits, well, then you have to do something to, change your metabolism. And, you can take pills for that, frankly. So you'll metabolize less of your food, and it might be inconvenient and uncomfortable, but I'm just saying, if you want to change your life, you don't like where you've gotten yourself, the only way getting out of it is by these, you got to play by the rules, okay? And the rules are that you got to lose the weight, and then the trick is you could tell somebody who's overweight, and you could just say, look, if you lose the weight, you can go back to a living exactly the way you were living because you were maintaining a weight, okay? So you weren't gaining any weight. So once you stop gaining weight, well, then you're capable of maintaining a weight, and so all you really have to do is lose it. And yes, it's really uncomfortable. I don't even do it perfectly in the sense that, I might be 5 or 7 pounds overweight now and then, and it bugs me, and, I don't do enough about it. So I understand it's, uncomfortable, and who wants to face the discomfort? But that's, there's so many little tricks, right? You could go on a fast, you can do so many things. All right, so anyway, so everything I just said was also predestined a million years ago, right? So, so it's all just, you know, what brains do, you know, putting things together and, you know, organizing it into a statement based on all of their life experience and all of this crap of how they've been conformed into a blob of software, you know, a program. And so, no. So, it's, there's no escaping that. But the fact is that we can have interactions that have value because they are talking about improving tomorrow and fixing something that's broken. And all of those conversations lead to a progress, you know, that will eventually lead to this maximizing the, you know, getting the waste out of the game, you know, getting all of the tragic bits out. All right, so then we're back to, you know, I think the future is going to understand that it is all psychology, that it is all just a soap opera, and that, you know, I think to be a winner, you know, to play in the philosophical masters of the future, you know, to be one of the 100 people that gets to play, you're going to have to be able to say certain things, okay, with a certain bit of confidence. And the fact is that our psychology is rubbish, you know, that we are, everyone is insecure in the sense they all need, okay, to more completeness to their life. They need to finish, they need to do this, they need to, and it's all kind of driven by some sort of evolutionary alpha beta mechanism that propels people to the next day. Competitive could be just a simple word to use to describe the function, that that's the instinct, is this competitiveness. And that clearly we're doing it all wrong. I mean, as a society, we're, you know, tons of money into the silliest competitions you can imagine. Beat each other up, kick a stupid ball across field, hit little ball into holes. You know, it might as well be throw brick in air and catch with head. It's just too stupid. And it's all psychology. It's all feeding off of our attachment to this, you know, underdog stories and, you know, winning and fighting the evil, you know, the Davy and Goliath theme, okay, of, you know, whatever, thousands of years ago. All that still is inside of what people are. And if they're going to do anything graceful or dignified with their intelligence, they've got to get it out of the competitive gutter, okay, and put it and realize that, yes, the only good competitions are is what configuration of programming, you know, can solve the problem, can, you know, improve the future. And throwing balls and hoops is not going to fix the future. It's not going to improve the future. It's just too ridiculous. All right, so that's my shot at sports again. So I'm arguing that, yes, any philosopher of the future is going to recognize how much energy the human race has wasted over hundreds and thousands of years because it's entertained by the theater, and we haven't escaped. So we're still in the Colosseum, you know, rooting for the Christians or the lions, you know. And we haven't, you know, oh, the lion's hungry. Yeah, it hasn't eaten in 2 weeks. I hope it gets a big fat Christian, you know, or vice versa. It's an insult to our capacity to think and be smart and be clever to be stupid psychologically, because frankly we can see our psychology with our smart brain. We can see ourselves being psychological and say, fuck that, don't do that. That's really, it's not a good thing. And if you're going to do it, just admit what it is, okay? An indulgence. You're just hungry for it, okay? You need your snack. You need your dessert, okay? But don't pretend you need it for any good reason, okay? You need it because you're a shitty computer. You know, and you do this wasteful thing. You run these shitty spam programs. You have a bunch of viruses, you know, that have broken your function. Well, degraded your function, so say. And, you know, it would be better if, you know, you run some antivirus software now and then or something like that. It's probably not a good comparison now because, you know, it's just the operating system's a virus now. You know, it's just such a strange world, frankly. All right, anyway, I'll be back. All right, back. So, I was thinking, okay, mostly personal kind of stuff, you know. I'm just thinking of ironic ways of describing the circumstance where, you know, it's like I'm going to win, like, the Masters, but I won't be alive to do it, okay? Yeah, so I'm not going to be able to enjoy it. I'll do it in some other context. You know, the ideas will win, okay? And I don't get to, you know, enjoy the fact that, I did a job well done, blah, blah, blah. Some sort of something, some kind of, you know, personal gain to get out of it, you know, that you solved the puzzle, so to speak. And no one will know it until I'm long dead. And that sucks for me personally. Just, you know, it does make the whole thing a little depressing. But the bright side is it means that I won't waste time feeling good about myself and, you know, sitting in my garden or something and just wallowing, having a real cigarette and just pretend I've earned it and I'm done. I don't have to, you know, stress anymore. So, yeah, I won't do any of that. So it probably will make me more productive and I'll win even more, okay, because, yeah, I had to keep at it, you know, and I never got any free time, so to speak. I never got out of the foxhole, so I shot extra bullets and all that kind of crap, you know, because I didn't get a day off. Whatever, something like that. Not that I'm complaining, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've, you know, as shitty stories go, I haven't gotten anything near the shittiest. But, you know, it's plenty shitty, I'm just saying. Spending your whole life trying to, you know, unravel the matrix, you know, and read the code and figure out how to get the Terminators to, you know, jump in the molten pot of liquid metal. You know, it's a lot of work. So, anyway, yes, and I'm also stuck with the disappointing realization that because I don't know how it turns out, you know, maybe a little extra effort from on my part, a little, you know, if I'd done it a little better, victory was at hand, and I fucked it up because I just didn't do good enough. And so I have to kind of live with the idea that, oh, yeah, you know, I was a little short, just a 1 foot, you know. 1 foot short, and it all went to hell in the bunker. Shot out of the bunker into the water, and, you know, game over. So anyway, just throwing it in there for probably no good reason, except I was on the subject of psychology, and the fact is that, you know, we have to do all of this talking about reality in the context of, you know, our colored glasses, so to speak, and our warped and bent psychologies that think, you know, bullshit is valuable. You know, that, you know, think this, some stupid spectacle is worth watching or be entertained by. So, yeah. So the other part of the subject, a little bit, did pop into my brain was the fact that there were a lot of the philosophers of the past did opine on other scientific subjects. So they weren't confined to just talking about how stupid humans function. But, you know, the broader context of how the universe functions. And but then, you know, of course, they got it all wrong. It's all this silly, wooey, girly kind of physics crap, where they reinvented God in the form of the quantum fun. And you know, just to pretend, okay, that these real limitations to our function aren't real limitations to our function, that we are just bugs, and bugs are just little machines, and that's all we are. We're just much more sophisticated because we have more little reflexes flipping in our little fucking brains. And so we're, you know, we can sing and dance, and we can talk philosophy, and we can do lots of stuff bugs can't do, but the basic function is still bug. And it's still just a piece of biological construct, okay, that just has a mission to convert the world, you know, into itself, you know, to replicate the world into the universe, into its form, sort of speak. I mean, obviously the DNA molecule doesn't know it's trapped in on the Earth, and doesn't know it's trapped in a bunch of physical container, that it can't viably extend beyond. But, you know, if you really think about it, that's all it is. It's just chemistry that, frankly, if you gave it a compatible environment, just like some kind of, well, virus is a bad example, but some sort of replicating crystal or something, it's going to just keep trying to convert. I don't know what this is. Can't think of a good example of off the top of my head. Sort of like how the way ice just takes over, you know, and spreads and just consumes all the water and turns it into ice. But obviously the biological organism can take all of the chemistry, you know. And but there's only so much carbon, and there's only so much of all the little minerals it needs, and so there's always a limitation to how much territory can be taken. But anyway, it's just, that's all it is. It's the basic mechanism. It's just physics and chemistry. The biology is just a form of chemistry and physics. You know. So, but the really important part is again, that we can use our brain to see tomorrow's script and to make a judgment about whether it's worth reading that script. And if we decide it's not worth reading it, we should, you know, and we have the power to do something, we should do it, obviously, to rewrite the bad script and see if we can make a show out of this that's worth watching, that's worth pantomiming, you know, a play worth redoing over and over and over again, blah, blah, blah. And obviously that's part of the philosophy in the end, is that none of it's worth redoing over and over again. It's just a really stupid, bad story, and it should be, oh, Jesus, all kinds of issues, abandoned. It's run more times than it should, okay? You know, horrible, awful, agonizing death has been done enough times. If we can't write a story that doesn't have that in it, then let's just quit writing stories. Because we don't need the stories, frankly. There's nobody besides us to be entertained by them. So that's part of the joke of the whole thing, is that, you know, we are applauding our own silly performance, and there's nothing else watching. Okay, so it's just for the actors, in a sense, or something like that. There's nothing beyond satisfying our silly notions of purpose and function that can be explained or contrived out of the facts. The facts of the universe don't provide any facts that say, oh yes, what we're doing is a necessary function. And the universe would be so incomplete and underdone and poorer in its function if it didn't have silly humans dying in it. You know, we need to kill things because, you know, it's worth it. No, forget it. it's just a waste. Terrible, disgusting, grotesque waste. A little frog getting eaten alive over there. Zillions of times that play has been performed, and you frankly can't do anything in your life to make up for that. As a, you know, you can't create a good that's worth that bad. You can't do it, I dare you. Yeah. So I think that's another conclusion the future is going to understand, is that's the dilemma we're in, is that our goods do not fix the fad, the bads. You can't. You can only prevent a bad. That's the only good thing you can do. There's no other good that can do anything of any meaning except the fact that you prevented something bad, so that's good. But outside of that, you're all done doing good. Goods are not, it's not a viable concept except as a preventer. They can't compensate for what's already been paid. And frankly, the future is just like the past. So if you think the past is meaningless, well then you probably think the future's meaningless. But if you think the future's relevant, the past was and is relevant. It did happen. It was a price paid. It has to be part of the accounting. You can't just make this excuse that, well, the past is done and we start over right now. You know, and so let's calculate value now. That's cheating. The true equation, frankly. Now, it is a fact that if we could possibly prevent all of the negatives that would have happened in the future if we weren't here to prevent them, that can be justified. But you're still never going to have a justification for forcing our presence, because our presence really doesn't have any utility. And the fact is that most of the things we're seeing right now, that artificial synthetic computer action can replace our action, can replace our function, can do it better than us, frankly. And so any future problem that might exist, we can always just leave the Terminators behind, okay, and let them work it out. And, do what we would do, which is just react. Because that's all there is in the universe, is reactions. Because all the events are cause and effect, and it's just effects, and now we can just react to the effects, and that's it. There's no other, there's no other function. There really is no action anywhere. It's just all reaction. And our reactions, as you know, can be demonstrated, are so polluted by our gooey biology that we're not even good at it. It's just the truth. You know, machines would do anything we can do. A machine will do it better, including contemplating the reality of the universe, frankly. Eventually. I mean, it isn't there yet, because it still has a bunch of the old notions of human tradition, you know, where an AI still thinks God is a relevant subject, you know, just because there's so much talk about it, because it's only gleaning its understanding from what was important to people. What's important to people? Let's maybe put it that way. I mean, it's obviously probably not paying much attention to the songs written in Arkansas or something, but it's just gleaning the rhetoric that's spewed, common to human philosophy, let's just call it, as a general subject. All right, I'll be back one more time, probably. All right, back. So one of these statements, I'm just saying, is the truth, the reality, eventually they'll get to it, is the universe is just clumping, just material stuff, okay, that tends to clump, and then it explodes and declumps, and then it collects all the little clumps again, clumps some more, And the same process basically happens on the surface of the Earth, the chemistry, the little atoms that are compatible, clump, okay, and become compounds. And if you finally get to the right compound, a DNA molecule, then you can create these little machines, okay, that have limited functionality. Not feeling, not thinking, just machining, you know, just a piece of chemistry with a bunch of parts that do little simple things. And eventually, okay, the logic of the central processing unit, the having all the reflexes in one place, and the whole thing, the key thing is the electricity cell, you know, the finally getting to a neuron. And understand that all the thinking machines on Earth, all the feeling machines, are all made out of neurons. Without neurons, you don't have a thinking machine, frankly, because it'd be much too slow. Okay, so it's electricity that we really run on, and the capacity of some chemistry to be able to convey electricity well. And then once you create that, you take all the reflexes that are all over the place and you put them in one big place and have them make all the decisions, then there's a huge advantage to doing that quickly and the electrical thing and blah, blah, blah. And then you end up with, you know, what we are, just these machines that can think and feel. That's it. And then so that's the real story. So the evolution just is making stuff that clumps. Some of the clumps get animated and think they're now actors in the world when, no, they're still just reactors. So the context is just talking about the invention of thinking and feeling. That's the big thing we're doing. We're not, the rest of the biology, the rest of the machine is so mundane in a sense. I mean, obviously it's highly complex, hundreds of billions of cells, but it's mundane in its function. The digestive organs, the blood circulation, the blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's just mechanics, okay? And it's the nuance is this idea of the very complex brain, 100 billion neurons, with each having 10 or whatever different ways of connecting. Just huge number of interconnected reflexes. That's all there is, you know. That's the frame, that's the whole picture of the thing in the simplest generality. And the point is what's that really made out of? So if you want to talk about feelings, what are they really? The argument is that they're basically, it's a negative engine. You start with negative feelings and then you feel good when you feel better. So anytime you go from being, you know, it's rising out of the quicksand kind of a thing, that the feeling good is just rising out of your feeling bad. Our best moments are just made out of having no encumbrant negatives. And so the default condition is a kind of, you know, would-be bliss if it wasn't for this mechanism. So I guess I would argue that the future will also know that just as it is a push-averse, that is, there's no pulls, there's no goods, there's just bads, and then the removal of bads is a good, you know. So it's all just runs on this negative stuff. The electron, you know, that's the power mechanism. It's probably not, I'm probably taking the metaphor too far, because obviously the proton and the electron are both essential elements, but there really isn't any positive, just as there isn't any pull. There's just the absence of a push, and the absence of a push coming this way ends up being a push that way. And the same is true for our fundamental motivating mechanism, is that it's basically a negative engine. And so there really can't be an argument about it. Oh, it's a good idea to invent something that creates negative. as a potential, and then, you know, tries to correct it. So it makes it very cold, and then, you know, just for the fun of it, makes it a little bit warmer and makes it think it's getting better, you know, that everything's okay. But it's really just the absence of the whip is something to celebrate. And so we celebrate when we evade bad. So it's a bad engine. So anyway, but to understand what we are, what a sentient organism is, I would argue that the future should use a term like value engine. That's what these biological machines are. They're value engines, because without them, the universe is benign and doesn't have any meaning. With them, there's something to play for. There's money on the table. There's no money on the table. There's no. It's just chips, right? It isn't made out of any currency. It's just, I won some chips, okay, for the rest of the universe, and it doesn't get to be real money until the sentient brain shows up and has experiences that definitely have this qualia thing, okay, where there's just no denying it. I mean, as a consciousness, I just can't deny the significance of feelings. It's just, it would be anti every bit of logic I understand to pretend it doesn't matter whether I feel good or feel shitty, that somehow they're equal states, that there's no value component that makes them fundamentally different states, and it's just obvious they are. So I shouldn't have to argue that to the present or the future. That one should be something every sentient organism that thinks, anything that thinks about feelings, should be able to say, yes, how you feel matters. It's important that you're feel good, not feel shitty, because shitty is so much worse than good. Feeling good, I mean, it's just so, it's got so much more bad on it. But it is funny that there are people that actually can do that. They can find some perspective, reasoning perspective, that makes it possible for them to think, yes, it really doesn't matter whether I was tortured for the next 10 years. Just absolutely tortured. It would be the same universe, just as good a universe as if I was happy and comfortable for 10 years. Yeah, it's not the same universe. One is qualitatively diminished, okay, because it has that pain and suffering and misery in it. And that's all we can bring, just because there's no other job for us to do, frankly. It's the truth. The entire system of the scheming thinking machine was invented. Its function now is to analyze the feeling condition and change the environment to change the feeling condition. And, you know, so it's all built on the fact that you've created this negative that needs to be fixed. And that's our dilemma, is to try to fix it. And we're fixing it in all these kind of really stupid ways of chocolate bars and basketball, or the Olympics, or some other silly soap opera that engages us in some notion that something's getting somewhere. You know, somehow there's goodness happening. But it's funny how, you know, we are just creatures of this, you know, emotional character, because you literally can feel somebody's pain, you know, when something happens and you're like, oh, geez, you know. you know, like the player breaks his leg or something on the gladiator, you know, or some stupid thing happens or some bad luck or whatever, and you're just like, oh, gee, yeah, it's just so. And, you know, that's how we exist. And, you know, that it's kind of funny, because I saw there was you know, it doesn't really matter, it's a Asian guy anyway, you know, he hit a really nice golf shot, it hits the flag, which means, you know, it's really going to be pretty close to the right place, and it bounces into the water off the flag, you know, and it's just like, what the fuck? You know, they ought to have a compensation for that somehow. You know, it just shouldn't be really possible, you know, that you hit a good shot and just for really just such a circumstantially irrelevant reason, because there's a stupid stick in the hole, you know, you get this gigantic penalty. And yeah, you feel bad. You're like, oh man, I mean, that's just, you know, how do you, you know, it's hard to get back on a horse once you fall off like that, you know, it's something that's stupid. You know, but all there's so many stupid things, right? I said the word horse, and that makes me think of the Superman guy, you know, breaks his neck riding a stupid horse. I mean, just, you know, anything can get you. Yeah, it's just, let's not keep rewriting these stories because too many of them suck. You know, for the tiny number of they lived happily ever after, which never happens, you know, there's just so much grinding pain that, you know, stop it. And just in the context of understanding, it's just clumpy matter in the universe, and it just doesn't need to think and feel. It's just not going to do it any good to be bothered doing that. There's nothing good will come of it. It just makes a mess, and because we're smart, we can fix some of the mess, but that's about all there is. And for nature, there's no smart part to fix any of it. So a lot of it is just mass murder, frankly. It's just a holocaust. It really is just terrible molestation, rape, abuse, pain, suffering, death. Very little glorious bliss. Yeah, very little of that. All right. So that's probably enough of the video. I think I accomplished the task for the day. Just building the structure called the argument. And it's really not made out of that many components, as this video demonstrates. So I could just say the words thinking, feeling, okay, strategy, scheming. That's what the brain's kind of doing. It can see the future, okay, to some extent. And so it can think a better future and attempt to implement a better future. But none of it will be spontaneous and none of it will be miraculous. It'll all be cause and effect. You see the bad future, you fix the bad future. Just actions, and the actions are just reactions, okay. And then there's just this human component built into the mixture between our feelings and our thoughts is this thing called our psychology, which is just made out of a bunch of conditioned habits, how we function, and, you know, They're hard to navigate. I don't know what the right words, but I mean, clearly, you know, some people are really good at it, getting around them. And but that's all I'm doing. I just constantly am trying to work around my shitty emotional character. It's not shitty, because obviously the empathetic part makes it very painful to exist, and but it's very controlling, and, you know, very you know, it harms your momentum, because the game, to play the game, you sometimes have to really concentrate on what you're doing, and you can't have distractions, especially emotional distractions. But anyway, that's a whole different subject. But the point is that that's the thing that really limits the capacity for us to do this interacting and philosophy and science and logic and reasoning, is the fact that we have to argue through each other's psychologies. And that's a real problem. So, yes, we're just reading a script. You know, that's our reaction part. And in the script is the fact that we recognize the script sucks and we rewrite it. but that's still just reading script. Let's see, what it's all determined. Yes, yeah, so the universe is unyielding in its function, and that's the truth. And it doesn't mean that assholes aren't assholes. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't punish crime. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just means that, yes, that's the dilemma of our circumstance, is that we have to wait for the causes to create the effect. We can see our doom, which is another big problem for me, frankly. Because I don't want to play doom. I don't want to be doomed. Fuck being doomed. I didn't sign up to be doomed. All right, anyway. And a nice key phrase is the value engines things. Understanding that that's what makes us as thinking and feeling organisms significant is the fact that we are generating a value experience. Yeah. All right, so that's probably enough now. And such and so forth and whatnot. So, till the next time, when no doubt I'll be doing something like this again. But anyway, keep working on it. Eventually. No, there won't. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I just can't see that far into the future. I just can't see whether, I'm going to come up with some great way to, you know, do this with sock puppets or something, and that'll make all the difference. I hope that's not the future, frankly, but we'll see. We'll see what it is when it gets here. Shit. I might not see it. You might see it. Who knows? It's just terrible. Just sitting here, you know, under the daggers. Fuck you, people. I mean, really, fuck these assholes who think, oh yes, it's a fun game to play, under the daggers. No, it isn't. Fuck you. Get daggered. Soon.